Next on BYU Sports Nation, the Cougars. Year one in the Big 12 is in the books. What were some of the highlights and top moments from year one in the Big 12? Kaba Keita makes his debut as he explains why he's transferring from Utah and what he expects spring this season.
All-American shot put Danny Bryan joins the program to tell us what it's like setting a personal best at Nationals and how he would describe year one in the Big 12. Our best quarterbacks bracket rolls on with Gary Scheide taking on Steve Young, and we'll tell you who won between Mark Wilson and Brandon Doman. And you know what? We hope you're as excited about today's show as Jamal Williams is at a Pokemon convention.
I just like anime and I love Pokemon and I like being here.
Jamal Williams is the best, and that really happened over the weekend. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfit of BYU fans everywhere. I had not seen that version of that clip. That was great. It is Monday, June 10th. I'm Jeremy Jordan. He is Instagram influencer Jason Shepard.
That is not true, but something
You're aspiring.
Something very cool happened to our family over the weekend, specifically to my son, Bo. So for those who are not aware, don't live locally, maybe, Utah Jazz rebranded. It went back to purple, and so it was a big deal over the last couple of days. So there was a pop-up store at Snowbird over the weekend with the Jazz team store. And so our family,
of course you found yourself.
So we decided to go up and check it out, see if we could purchase some gear. Happened there were some Jazz players. We saw Jazz Bear driving down the canyon in his suit, on his motorcycle, just by himself. It was kind of weird.
Didn't have to lug the costume around as an aim gun.
But so we go up there. Colin Sexton had been there before. Keontae George, the Baylor product,
and
who wrapped up his first season with the Jazz, was there. My son got a picture with him. The day was great already. As we're leaving to head back to our car, we're walking to our car. There's a car that's kind of pulling up behind us. So we move out of the way. He pulls up, and I notice it's Keontae George in his car. And he's like, hey.
What kind of car, by the way?
It was a nice Tesla.
Nice.
Yes. So he says, oh, sorry. I'm like, oh, no problem. And he's like, you know what? In fact, wait, can you hang on a second? He puts his car in park, pops the trunk, hops out of the car, goes around the back, picks up a game-worn jersey from his trunk, and throws it to my son, Bo. It was unbelievable.
That's
I quickly asked him, like, hey, do you mind if we get another picture with you in the jersey? He's like, sure.
You're like, hey, do you have one that's not yellow?
So this is a game-worn Keontae George jersey that he had no reason to stop.
Yep.
He just out of the blue. It made my son's day. It made my day.
Oh,
it
that's
was
a,
unbelievable.
Core memory there.
Yeah, unbelievable. So if you're looking for a BYU tie, played at Baylor in the Big 12. There you go.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was awesome.
Shout out to Keontae George. Seems
absolutely.
Like a good dude. That's awesome.
It was very cool.
Loaded show. Lots to talk about. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Chase 20, Chase 10. We're going to chase him into the end zone.
Trevin Nell, how about that? A ninth three-pointer for Trevin Nell.
Into the box it goes, and into the net. BYU has jumped back in.
BYU, its first Big 12 home game, has its first Big 12 win.
What's Trending is presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. NCAA Outdoor Track and Field National Championships were over the weekend. The Cougars did really well there. We'll tell you more about that coming up. That finalizes the first year in the Big 12. The 2023-24 season is in the books. So, Shep, summarize year one in the Big 12 for the Cougs.
I'm curious how you're going to summarize it, because it will probably be different than how I look at it. And I, for me, I don't want this to come across as if I was just happy to be there, but it's going to come across as that. I have waited so long for BYU to be in this position, you know, and we all talked about there's going to be a ramping up process, and it's okay to have some growing pains. So even though there were certain programs that did better than others, for me, it is a rousing success because BYU was in it.
Just because
the hard work was done to get in the conference. And so quite honestly, whatever happened in year one to me was going to be a success because you were in it for year one. So that may be a completely different way than other people will look at it, but I just can't look at it any other way. You made it to that point, and I realize it's not just about making it. It's once you're in it, what you do with it, and now that part can continue to play out. But you had highs and lows in different sports. Obviously, you know, everyone's going to gravitate mostly towards what football and basketball did. And we'll get into some of the specifics coming up in a few minutes.
Yep.
But overall, to me, it is a success because BYU was in that position. They had done the things necessary to put themselves in a position to be in that conference.
That's interesting to me because it wasn't like BYU joined in July and then they were immediately in. So we had this, you know, it's almost like BYU went on a mission and came back. We had almost that amount of time, right, to get the invite, join the league, compete in the league. Was almost a full 2 years. But the phrase that came to my mind was great success. Like, it was awesome, one, that BYU was in it, but it wasn't, that wasn't enough for me personally. You had to compete in some sports and really show out, especially in the sports where you were ready to compete, like women's soccer, women's volleyball, all the running, cross country, track and field, and so on, expected to compete and do well, and they did. Certainly, men's basketball was a big surprise, which was so fun. Still, surprises showing up this summer afterwards, right? With all the newness there, with the coaching staff change, but you know, softball. We wanted to be in the dance, but they had three top five wins, which we'll talk about in a second. Soccer, although they didn't win the regular season or tournament in the Big 12, superseded that by going to the College Cup, which was awesome. There was individual greatness, too. I thought it was really good. I thought it was just like a little better than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Certainly, football was underwhelming. We were expecting at least a bowl game. We weren't expecting don't make a bowl game, but we knew it'd be difficult. And we talked about, in the last 2 years, the ramping up, that BYU should be ready for this, given independence. So that was tough because it was like, wait, I thought we were ready. I thought we had scheduled tougher to be ready. Ball didn't bounce BYU's way a couple of times. He had some injuries. Crap happened, and BYU was just literally a play away from overtime against Oklahoma State. So it was good, man. And now you know how hard it is. Now you know what it takes. You know what kind of coaches you need. You know what kind of staffs you need, NIL, recruiting, the competition, all of that is fully in front of every sport at BYU. And for some, it's like, okay, that hill is higher to climb than others, which we'll get into, but I thought, for the most part, really good.
Well,
really good season.
In you know, because of teams like basketball that had that type of season, and obviously with women's soccer and being able to go to the College Cup for the second time in 3 years, you know, there were some very high highs to experience in the first year of the Big 12. In fact, do you want to kind of go over?
Let's walk through some highlights.
Timeline.
Let's walk through the highlights. So in case you forgot, September 10th, 2021, BYU gets the Big 12 invite. That was an incredible Friday. It's the week of BYU playing Utah. It's one of the greatest weeks of my life because I moved into the house I live in on Tuesday, and then it was Friday invite. Saturday beat Utah to end the 9-game losing streak. That was awesome.
I don't know.
And 9/11 was patriotic
correct.
That day as well.
But in like, even with BYU having a national championship, I think that 48 hours could rival the best 2 days.
It was pretty good.
In BYU history. You get an invite, you make
it
official, and the next day you beat Utah. Come on.
That's pretty awesome. Winning the national title was a little subdued because they didn't know whether they had won it for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's different.
Which is pretty wild.
Yeah, so you mentioned how you get the invite on September 10th in 2021. Let's jump ahead.
We had to wait a long time.
I know. 2 years, and it becomes official on July 1st of 2023. And obviously,
big party.
You got to have a big party, right?
Okay, some people, mainly Utah fans, made fun of. Oh, look at
you guys with the flex.
Oh yeah, that's my left arm.
Are you flexing?
I don't even know how to. I have no muscle. It was a party. Utah fans made fun of BYU. You know who just celebrated hard? Texas getting into the SEC.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, just the big time schools with their own networks.
Right. Because Utah didn't do anything when they went into the Pac-12.
They did not put stickers on anything. Big party there. Okay. August 17th. First game is a Big 12 team in any sport. It was a top 20 matchup. Soccer took on St. Louis, the Billikens. BYU's going there this year. A 3-2 win, and you got that Big 12 patch. Yeah. That was a pretty cool night at Southfield.
Yeah, to be able to see the logo on the field, it really was one of those first indicators like, okay, this is real.
Yep.
Like, not only is this happening.
It's real and it's spectacular.
Yes, it was unbelievable, and to have it be a victory, even though not a conference game.
Yep.
for that logo to be on the field and for women's soccer to be the first team to take the field in the conference was pretty cool.
Little did we know, you know, at that moment, hey, soccer's actually going to be
the
highlight.
It's the beginning,
and that will come up against UNC,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Which was one of the greatest games in BYU sports history.
All right, the first football game, that's obviously what a lot of people were looking forward to. Just the environment. We're not even talking about the first conference game. We're just talking about the first football game of the year, September 2nd versus Sam Houston. And yeah, the opponent was not exactly, you know, huge, but the game sort of didn't turn out to be the type of game that we expected. But you know what? At the end of the day, nobody cared. BYU got the win, and it was the first game that BYU played with the patch on the jersey, which was awesome.
Later we cared that there were only 14 points. And it was an indication, unfortunately, that BYU's offense was going to struggle a little bit. But BYU won that first game. So much juice. Ah, it was exciting. Okay, the first in-league Big 12 win, Cincinnati. This was a Friday night turnover fest, 35-27 BYU wins. And this was a game that we didn't know BYU's only going to win two Big 12 games. This is one of the two with Texas Tech. First Big 12 football win, the first of many, which would be awesome.
Yep, on October 28th, and this one is big in terms of getting the team title. First Big 12 team title goes to cross country, which took place in Ames, Iowa.
It's an all-sports school, but running is really strong here.
Yeah, it is one. And look, Coach Taylor, you see on the screen, what an unbelievable.
All she does is win titles. Come on, man. Ed Ice down there, ballers.
So to be able to go to Ames and get that first Big 12 team title for cross country, that was a big milestone for the athletic department.
And on the men's side, it's really competitive there. Like Iowa State and BYU are battling for the national championship and the Big 12 title. Okay, men's hoops. Taking fifth in the Big 12 was way better than we thought. They were picked 13th out of 14 and took fifth, tied with Kansas. Notable wins against Iowa State, who's a 2 seed in the tournament. Baylor, Texas, TCU were all top 8 seeds. Memorable win, of course, at Kansas. That's the one that really highlights the season. For BYU, one of the best wins in program history in terms of blue blood.
The step back against
Hunter Dickinson from Dallin Hall. It was awesome, man. That was the number one win, in my opinion, of all sports. I know beating UNC and the epic nature of that.
I agree with you, by
the way. I'm biased. I called the game. I love that game. But men's hoops winning at Kansas was special. That whole season was awesome. Yeah. And it was so special that Kentucky got Mark Pope and BYU brings in Kevin Young. And, you know, it was an amazing men's basketball season. One that will be hard to emulate, but boy, is this staff working to try and get to at least that or more.
And the enthusiasm for this upcoming season is through the roof.
Never been higher in the offseason.
No, never.
Never.
Never. All right, women's hoops had a really good win over Baylor. It was the first ranked win as a versus a Big 12 team.
Awesome.
And not only was that a big win to get, but it actually propelled BYU to its 3-game conference winning streak. They won that game at home against Baylor, then went on the road and beat Cincinnati, who they swept, and then went to UCF in Orlando and won. So it was a really nice stretch for BYU women's basketball that started by beating Baylor, who was ranked at the time. And then you can't forget, if you're going to talk about women's basketball last season, Lauren Gustin, BYU's all-time leading rebounder,
awesome,
able to get that record against Texas Tech, a record that had stayed for 44 years.
Wow.
And once again, Lauren Gustin led the nation in rebounding. She was just a double-double machine for the last 2 seasons.
She was awesome, man. And women's hoops continues to recruit at a really high level. Excited about them coming up this year. Almost beat Kansas State. Top 5 win on the road.
Yes.
This close. But a team that did get top 5 wins. Softball beat the eventual champs, Oklahoma, on the road. Beat Oklahoma State twice. 3 top 5 wins. I would argue of the top 4 wins in any top 5 wins in any sport, that softball had 3 of the top 5. I would argue UNC was one for women's soccer, men's basketball at Kansas. And I would argue that softball's 3 top 5 wins were the other 3. I mean, those were incredible wins. Unfortunately, left out of the NCAA regional.
They were
one of the first left out, we felt like.
Yeah. I thought what they had done towards the end.
Competition is tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and look, I mean, it was a regular season conference game against Oklahoma. But when you realize what Oklahoma did –
They're better than Alabama and Georgia have been in that sport.
That was a massive victory for BYU softball.
That was awesome.
Very cool.
That's not a comprehensive list. Those are just some of the highlights. But what a year for BYU in the Big 12. We've waited so long for this. And, look, there are people from that are older than us that have waited for a long time. I jokingly say to my kids, you guys are so spoiled. Are you kidding me? BYU's in the Big 12, your whole youth? This is awesome.
There are kids right now that only know BYU in the Big 12 and beating Utah.
They're three-year-olds that I've never seen in a lot.
I don't know what you guys are talking about with all this previous pain.
I guess it'd be like a five-year-old from 20. Yeah.
But you know what? At the end of the day, a really good foundation in year one to build off of.
Absolutely. And like I said, I think BYU knows exactly what it needs. It had a good sense before, but now they know, in football, we got to have – this kind of recruiting, this kind of offense, this kind of coaching in certain spaces. So BYU's made adjustments. I look forward, we all do, to the 24-25 season as 23-24 is in the books. Can't believe it. Our question of the day is this. What word best describes BYU's first year in the Big 12? We both said success. Mm-hmm. I think that's the same word we used. Andrew Peterson on Instagram, roller coaster. There were some downs. I would say there were fewer downs than there were ups. There were a lot of highs.
But the highs were very high. We mentioned...
We just want more football highs.
Yes.
An Oklahoma win or an Oklahoma State win would have really changed, I think, the narrative around football
this,
last year.
This is... People's words that they're going to come up with for this are going to be based mostly on football and basketball.
Sure. Yes. And like I say, losers talk about margin. But... They do. The winners don't talk about margin. They just talk about wins.
Yep.
But BYU football was right there, right? Ben Peterson, finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
Kind of goes with what
That's
I was talking
well
about.
Well stated.
Yeah. You were finally in position to be able to play in the Big 12. It's awesome.
And BYU didn't just play. They competed very well.
Yes, they did.
Which was awesome. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Coming up after the break, I'll go one-on-one with Kaba Keita, new big man for the Cougars, why he chose BYU, how his relationship with fellow Mali native Foose is working. But before we go to break, we want to recognize former BYU men's basketball coach Frank Arnold, who passed away on Saturday. Arnold led the program from 1975 to 83 with a 137-94 record. Under Arnold, the Cougars won three WAC titles, made the incredible run to the 1981 Elite Eight led by Danny Ainge and company. Ainge tweeted the following over the weekend. I was so blessed to play for and be inspired by Coach Arnold. BYU men's basketball. He gave us rules on and off the court, but gave us freedom and tools to develop, multiply, and succeed. He was ahead of his time. RIP Coach, and God bless B and her beautiful family. Prior to BYU, Arnold won three national titles as a part of John Wooden's staff at UCLA prior to taking the BYU job. Arnold was 89.
Kaba Keita, unbelievable.
He has the physicality to hang in the Big 12.
Rim rolling five is now on the roster.
And he's going to make a difference, bro. I like Spencer's Bill Walton. Do you?
It's fantastic.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, he does. He's actually very good at impressions.
Why'd you say actually?
Because he actually is.
I love that. Welcome back to Studio B. Jeremy Jordan, Jason Shepherd, who's actually in Studio B. One
Why
of BYU's impact transfers is Kaba Keita, who came from Utah. Comes to the Cougars, where he was a tremendous rebound and shot blocker. I spoke with Kaba Keita after practice late last week.
All right, Kaba Keita. That's the correct pronunciation?
Yes, that's right.
That's important, right? How's BYU been so far?
It's been great. Getting used to everything. I mean, I'm not used to a campus and a facility. I mean, I've been here before, down Wasatch. We came here for a visit and stuff. I know I'm a little familiar, but still getting used to it, so it's been great.
Foose has got to show you around, though, right?
Yeah. he's showing me around, but still got to find out my classes and stuff still, so yeah, I'll get there.
Let's talk about the relationship with Foose. It's a guy that I assume you knew back home in Mali, and that Wasatch, of course. When did you first meet Foose, and are you guys tight? The two Mali boys now.
I met Foose when he went to Mali for a camp. He went with his AAU team, Jimmer Elite, I believe it was the name at the time. And I met him, Troy, Carlos, my guardian. I met them back in Mali. And Madi, I don't know if you know Madi, but yeah.
Madi Sissoko?
Yes. Yeah, I met him in Mali, and Rich Isander. I came here, went to American Heritage a year later, transferred to Wasatch. We were teammates for a year. And yeah, he was a great mentor for me. He showed me a lot of things, you know, because I was new here. I didn't know much about anything. So yeah, he was great. He was a good.
So how old were you when you first met Foose?
I was 16.
You were 16, okay.
Yeah.
And then you find yourself in Mount Pleasant, Utah, at Wasatch, and you're playing with Richie, right, and Foose. And or was Richie not on that team?
No.
Gotcha. Just Foose?
Yeah, just Foose.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because I got there when Richie graduated. And,
gotcha.
Yeah,
he's
so.
He's 2 years older, I assume, with the mission.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, so.
Awesome. So you get to know Foose a little bit better, and obviously you guys are you guys from the same town, Bamako?
Yeah, we're from same city, but, we're from both Bamako, but he's from Kati. Kati's also like 20 minutes from where I'm from, because I'm from Falaje. That's like more like in the city, kind of. Yeah. So, yeah,
awesome.
Not too far.
And Chris Burgess was there. Chris comes down here. You jump in the portal a day or two later. What's the relationship like with Chris as a big man who coaches you, and ultimately you followed him down here?
Yeah, man, I love Coach Burge. He's a great coach. He helped me a lot, showed me. I mean, I started playing basketball like, 5 years ago?
That's it? 5 years?
Huh?
That's it? 5 years?
That's a long time. I mean,
you've only been playing for five? That's crazy.
Yeah, playing for 5 years now. And so Coach Burge, he really helped me a lot, showed me. I'm still learning. And he understand me, and he know how to like teach me. He know who I am as a person, not just as a basketball player. So he can help me that way. So So that's why, honestly, when he left, I was like kind of put me on the spot. So it was really tough for me. And then I just felt like he's a guy that can really take my game to another level. And now that I'm here with Coach Young, it's going to be great. So I'm excited for that.
What was that meeting like with Kevin as you kind of got to know him and realized, hey, here's a guy who's coached in the NBA for a long time, and I'm sure that's the goal for you?
Yeah. The thing is, he has a lot of experience, and everybody wants to play for a coach that have a lot of experience, especially an NBA coach. I mean, he nearly got the head coaching job in the NBA. So I think it's great because, he can teach me a lot. And I'm looking for it, and I'm really excited. I'm really excited. I can tell you how much I'm excited, but I'm very excited. So it's going to be a great year.
Okay, if you've only played basketball for 5 years, I assume soccer was in there. Was volleyball in there? Do you have a brother playing in South Korea or played in South Korea?
Yeah, he did play in South Korea, but now he plays in Italy. So, yeah, I did play soccer and volleyball.
How have practices been the last couple of days? I know the whole team's not here yet, but as you kind of get to know some of the guys, what's that been like?
It's been good. It's been pretty fun. I can tell that the guys are ready to be here. They want to be here. And so the energy that I bring every day, like tell you, and it shows. I'm talking, everybody is a leader here. Talk to each other, try to understand each other, because we try to know each other. So it's been great. Yeah.
You're a tremendous rebounder, shot blocker. You score, you clean up the glass. What part of basketball do you love the most on the court?
First of all, I love winning, man. Also, I love defense. I pride myself on defensive end. So I'm still learning. I'm still trying to, like, take my offensive game to another level. I'm aware of that. So the only thing that I really love is, blocking shots. When I block shots and just, like, you know, I just try to talk my talk sometimes. I think that's fun, you know.
Is it in English, or do you bust out some other languages?
Nah, it's in English. if I talk to you another language, I mean, you're not gonna understand. So I won't get into your head. So like, you know, I gotta say in English so I can get your head. So yeah.
What languages do you speak?
I speak French and Bambara.
And are those native to Mali, those two?
Yeah, Bambara is official language, and French is kind of like academic. If you go to school, people that are educated speak French.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
And then English in the United States. Did you speak any English when you came here?
Zero.
Nothing.
Wow. I didn't even know where exit mean. When I came to the airport, and I didn't even know where to go. It was exit, but I didn't know what that meant.
Didn't know.
I had my phone, Google Translate, and I went to a security guy and then asked him on the phone, so, yeah.
Hey, you're doing great, man. Do you feel comfortable in Utah now that you've been here several years?
Yeah, I feel very comfortable, and that's also reason why, you know, I came here for family and friends, to be close to my host family, friends, people that care about me, and, yeah, that's also part of reason, honestly, why I came here, so, yeah.
Foose and Richie have been trying to build some basketball courts and do some great work back in Mali. You gonna jump on that? You gonna go back with them the next time they go back and help out?
I'm not sure when they're going back. We won't probably go back same date or, you know. But I'm definitely gonna build my foundation and like try and help our kids there. Like we just recently did a camp, and we brought, like, I didn't get to go to, what's this called, Egypt and Guinea, but I was there in Mali, and we helped those kids, so it was fun, and I'm looking forward to do that next year.
That's fantastic. And you recently went home, right? And is that where you held some camps?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep.
You get to see some family and hang out?
Yeah, for sure, yeah. Get to see my siblings and friends, so a lot of great food that I missed, so it's good.
Now you got Foose that can help you out here, right?
Yeah, for sure. He's a good guy. I love Foose, man. Foose, yeah.
He is a big-time likable character here. They're going to like you, too. Thanks for the time, and best of luck, Kaba.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
This guy came to the States not knowing any English, and now he's speaking great English. He knows three languages. Wasatch connection there with Foose. Knew about Richie, but as we established, wasn't teammates with Richie with the mission thing, but Kaba's going to come in, and he might be your starting five out of the gate. Yeah. I have said several times I love the idea of Foose off the bench because that second unit, they're not going to be ready for what he's going to bring to you in terms of his rebounding and footwork in the post. And then Kaba, the physicality there, it's a nice 1-2 punch from the Mali boys.
Well, and you and I, while we were watching the interview, we were just kind of chatting by ourselves, kind of going over what the starting five could look like and then who comes off the bench. And I think Kaba is a perfect example of the point I'm about to make. When you look at what this roster is this year for BYU men's basketball, and it's not even complete yet, there's still two spots to fill, but the thing that just jumps off the page to me right now is versatility and athleticism. Both of those things, you know, you've got it in spades with this group. And a guy like Kaba, who is so athletic, and obviously it can play four, can play five, and you've got so many different guys that can play the 1-2 or the 3 or can play the 2-3 and the 4. You have so many options to move guys around and to utilize different skill sets. I just love the options that are there for Coach Young and his staff this year because of the athleticism and the versatility of all these guys they're bringing in.
And whatever I think we think about who's the starter, who's coming off the bench, what does the roster look like? That will evolve and change not only in this offseason, but during the season, because if you can bring in a power forward and a scorer or a shooter, now you have all the pieces, I think, of a team that can win a game or two, if not more, in the NCAA tournament. Trust me, we'd take a game right now. We would always take two. That's only happened twice in BYU history. Hopefully this year is the third.
Yeah. All right, listen to part two of the latest Cougar Tailgate podcast featuring BYU football sports information directors Brett Pine and Duff Tittle, whose new book, 100 Years of BYU Football, is on sale now. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up, how did the Cougars fare at the track and field outdoor national championships? Plus, Foose goes fishing in Alaska, and which former BYU quarterback is credited with creating a modern analytics stat used in football in the NFL and college? This is BYU Sports.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
He is Yason. I am Yerim. Let's get to today's headline.
BYU men's and women's track and field secured four first team and two second team All-Americans at the track and field championships this weekend. Jenna Hutchins earned her first team honors, finishing sixth in the 10,000 meters on Thursday. Dallin Schertz earned his second straight first team honors, finishing eighth in discus. Sadie Sargent and Sierra Tidwell-Alfin both earned first team honors, finishing top 10 in the 5,000 meter and high jump, respectively.
And there were others. There's so many. I'm not sure we have time. You got to go to BYUCougars.com to hear all the All-Americans from BYU. Congratulations, everybody. Fantastic. Men's basketball head coach Kevin Young held media availability late last week. Says BYU's working on filling the two remaining scholarships.
Yeah, I mean, there's things we're looking for. You know, shooting is always where I go to, always. And so never can have too much shooting positionally, you know. We're looking at a little bit more size at different spots. And then, you know, athleticism, that's something I've been on kind of from day one. And so, you know, we're trying to check a lot of boxes with those last two spots. But I think those kind of characteristics are ones that have stood out.
I'm sorry. I was just watching Shep the whole time in that. You look great, though.
Oh, thank you. I'm needy. I need to be in the camera.
Put me right next to Coach Young.
Look, I want to hear, so I went right next to him to make sure
what?
I could hear. Exactly.
It was loud in there.
All right. To baseball, Daniel Schneeman, former Cougar, went 3-for-5, including a triple in his last three games with the Cleveland Guardians over the weekend. Schneeman moved positions again this weekend, making that six positions played through six games in the majors.
That's historical. Yes, we'll break that down later.
Yes.
And Jim Fredette, ever heard of him? In the USA men's national 3x3 team reached the quarterfinals of the Ulaanbaatar Masters. That's in Mongolia. The squad split their two pool play games. Jim scored 9 of the team's 21 points in game 2. Can't wait to watch him in the Olympics in Paris this summer for Team USA. Those are today's headlines. Now let's whip it. Cougar Whip Round is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
All right, we start with this. PFF College on X posted this graphic yesterday of the most Davy O'Brien Award winners by school.
Yep.
Dang you, Oklahoma. What are the odds that BYU adds to this total in the next 10 years? So the next decade, will BYU add to that?
It'd be nice. Zach Wilson, as good as he was, didn't win the Davy,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
It's going to be hard. But the hope is that BYU can recapture some of that magic from the 80s and 90s and 70s and whatnot. And,
80s, 90s, one, and today?
And today. Live here on BYU Radio. hopefully at some point next 10 years feels ambitious, but let's be ambitious.
Yeah, look, I mean, if you continue to get guys and put them in the NFL, that hopefully...
Well, it's not just that. You got to be the top quarterback in the country.
I understand
you
that.
You got to be in the Heisman.
But if you're getting that type of talent,
yeah.
You hope that then maybe that translates. And one of these years, you have one of those fantastic seasons. And
yeah.
So, yeah.
If
you
Zach
never
couldn't
know.
Do it as the number two pick, it's going to be real hard.
Yeah.
But keep going after it. Let's go.
All right.
Okay. Foose went fishing in Alaska over the weekend. Who's getting more big fish, Foose in Alaska or Kevin Young in recruiting?
That is.
You came up with that question, by the way. I want to give you credit for that.
Well, thank you. That is the pretty big fish.
Good movie.
Because
by the way.
I am not a fan of fishing, I don't like to touch the fish. I'm going to go with Kevin Young. There's pictures of me as a kid, like with my grandpa, my uncle.
Like squirming away
and,
from
like, this. Seriously, I'm like just disgusted.
Will you eat fish?
No, I don't like seafood either.
Oh, you don't like?
No, I don't like seafood. Kevin Young in recruiting.
I was going to take you to Red Lobster, but I guess not. They going bankrupt?
Cheddar biscuits? No, I'll eat those.
Cheddar biscuits!
Yeah. So for me, it's Kevin Young.
Kevin Young's crushing it, yeah. If Foose had they don't have marlins in Alaska, but if he had like some, you know, massive one, maybe there's an argument there, but I don't know. There's a certain Russian future lottery pick that's pretty big.
You fisherman, by the way?
No. No.
Will you touch
just fishermen
fish?
Of men.
Nice. Yeah. Well played.
Yeah.
Perfect for our audience.
As a ministering.
All right. An ESPN.com article featured the influence of one Virgil Carter, BYU's first good quarterback back in the 60s, and how, as a Bears quarterback, he took classes at Northwestern and created the what we call today the expected points added, or the EPA, a stat used in the NFL and college football today. Pretty cool. Is Virgil underrated in the quarterback factory conversation given his statistical contribution highlighted by ESPN?
I always like to bring up Virgil because I just think people don't know about him a ton.
Yes.
And this is another layer to him, which is pretty cool. A young Bill Walsh, as he was figuring out offenses, like, I can use a mobile guy who sees the field and checks down and whatnot. He was Virgil in the NFL. And then while Virgil's a quarterback in the NFL, he's getting a master's degree at Northwestern. And he's looking at situations where, okay, what's the expected point value for this down and distance at this point in the field? Like, he was ahead of his time in this. So, yes, Virgil, that needs to be mentioned when we bring it up. We're not like, hey, Robbie Roscoe made up this random set. Robbie won a national title.
Right.
Virgil's contributions are many. The first WAC title, by the way, for BYU in 65.
Yeah, it probably doesn't get talked about enough by the general public today. Now, there's obviously reason. It just happened in an era that just a lot of people don't necessarily remember anymore.
Yeah.
But 100%, he does not get the credit or talked about enough for what he did for the program.
Had 599 total in a game in the 60s. Are you kidding me? With inflation, that's 1,200 now. Okay, with the Pac-12 finishing up their athletic year yesterday and the end of the conference as we know it, what are some of your favorite BYU moments against the Pac-12, and why is it going 5-0 in 2021?
Well, it starts there. It starts when the year – see, there it is. See?
Oh, this was put back up in the studio just for this segment? Amazing.
You know what? The funny thing is we didn't even put it up. It just miraculously appeared.
It's funny how that works. The producers will produce.
So, yes, owning the Pac-12 that year was fun. The punch, the fumble punch by Algier,
the punch,
against Arizona.
AKA the win versus Utah, was also awesome.
All of those things, I'm having a hard time debating 1, 2, and 3.
Scott Morgan, one of our camera operators, has a lengthy and amazing career. No shots better in his life than that one.
We could do a deep blue on just that play.
Just the shot by Scott.
Done. Let's do it.
What
about you? Is it the undefeated?
I grew up liking the Pac-10, living in Portland. Like, I'm in the middle of Oregon,
right,
Oregon State, Washington, Washington State.
You and I cannot be doing this show together anymore.
So I'm sad the conference is going away. But I do like that BYU and Utah are in the same league, at least for the next couple years until this all gets blown up. Who knows what it's going to look like. After the break, Danny Bryant joins the program. This dude just took fourth in the shot put over the weekend. He's going to take first in Studio B. Coming up after the break.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to Studio B, live from Provo, Utah. BYU broadcasting, Jerem Jordan, Jason Shepherd with us. Our next guest took fourth in the shot put at Nationals over the weekend. He's got a trophy to prove it. He is Danny Bryant in studio. Danny, what's up, man? Congratulations on taking fourth.
Thank you, man. Thanks. It's awesome to be here.
It's good to have you in studio. Hey, way to rep all the gear,
Yeah.
The hat, the shirt.
Lots of free stuff.
And the trophy.
The trophy right here.
What does this mean to you, man?
It means a lot. I mean, this season has just been amazing. I've just been able to improve a lot more than what I'd hoped to. And so just having that and taking fourth place at Nationals was a really big accomplishment for me.
When you went in, what were your own expectations? And then, like you said, finishing fourth, what did that mean to you at the time?
Yeah, my own expectations for Nationals, I was just hoping to PR. And the first two throws were not good. And so, like, I had three throws, and then on the last one, I just was thinking to myself, this is my last throw of the season, so I got to go hard, you know, and just hit a PR, made it to the final, so I got three more throws, and then on the last throw of finals, I was able to hit another big PR, which secured fourth, so that was an amazing feeling. I was super happy.
So you like to wait to the last minute? Is that what you just learned?
I guess it's a pattern because I did that at Big 12s too. Mm. I barely made finals. And then on my last throw of finals, I went up from eighth to second.
Wow.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Take me into the pressure of that moment and sort of the mental and physical cues there, because obviously on the third throw, you got to make it happen.
Yeah. Shot put is one of those sports where it's like, it takes 2 seconds in the ring and it's over. But during those 2 seconds, it is wild, the thoughts that go through your head. I mean, for me, just most of the time on the last throw, I think to myself, just put it all out there. Like, this is your last chance. And so usually I'm able to get it done, which is, you know, Nice.
There's a track record now. It's just outline.
Well, and maybe it's the mechanics and how it feels, but are you, when you've had a good throw, are you aware of it immediately?
Yeah, for the most part, yes. Like, shot put, it's one of those sports where it's not really like a put, but on the good throws, you feel it like flick off your fingers.
Yeah.
And so whenever you feel that flick, it usually means it's going to go far.
Nice. Look at the flick of the wrist, as they say, right?
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, so the throw you referred to, which was your third in the final,
yeah,
is 65, 8.25. Third in BYU history. It's not just a PR, it's third in BYU history. It gets you to fourth. What was that moment like for you when you could feel it come off your fingers?
Oh, that was sweet, man. I honestly didn't think it was, I couldn't tell because the lines were all blurred out in the sector because everyone was hitting big marks at Nationals. And so I couldn't tell if it was like farther or about the same as the PR that I hit in the last row of prelims. But I was just looking at the screen trying to see what I hit. And then that 20 meters came up and I was like, oh my gosh, like no way. I just freaked out, ran over to Nick and Dallin and started hugging and celebrating. It was a really cool feeling.
Nick Aranius would know what it's like to be great in this, given a couple national championships himself, right?
Yep, he's amazing.
Pretty good coach, yep.
All right, for those of us, and I'm going to emphasize us, who would never know what that atmosphere is like, what was the environment like for that? Take us through that. That's pretty cool.
It was cool. Like, this was my first time going to Tracktown USA, and just seeing the whole stadium and, you know, people coming to watch track and field. I mean, like, it doesn't really happen in many other states like that. And so just seeing everyone there showing their support, yelling, cheering, it was really cool to see and to have that environment at Nationals at the biggest stage.
Eugene does it right, aka Phil Knight and Nike, which is pretty cool. Yeah, you got to read Shoe Dog if you haven't. It's pretty good. Okay, but the real key to success was Super Smash Bros., was it not?
Oh my gosh, yes. The amount of complaints we received and for being loud.
What happened? In the hotel you were loud playing?
Oh man, it was crazy. So me and, you know, Dallin Schurz, Cameron Bates, and a couple of other of the guys.
Who also were top 10.
Who are also, yes, goats. We love to smash, you know. And just, I don't know, it takes our mind off of the whole competition and stuff. It helps us be relaxed. You know, we talk a lot of smack, just have a good time.
Who's your character? Do you have a go-to?
I've been playing King K. Rool.
Okay. Yep.
And you guys were
alligator.
And you guys were so loud, you got complaints?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Nice. Was that, what night was that? Or was it multiple nights?
This was during regionals in Arkansas when we had all the throwers there. So,
look,
you know, we can be loud.
Look, you had like tornadoes showing up. You had bigger issues than volume, right?
Yeah, that was crazy.
In the hotel?
Yep.
That's awesome. Okay, super athletic family. Your dad, Dan, played football at BYU in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Uncle Doug, Billy, Todd played football. Your Uncle Doug also did track. Your aunt did track. Treva. Uncles David and Chris Rukert played lacrosse. You're related to the Hergets.
Yeah.
Todd Herget, your uncle, played football. Tyler, your cousins, the center on the volleyball team.
Yeah.
What's it like in that family with all the athleticism? Man,
it's just cool to be like a part of, I don't know, legacy here at BYU. I just feel like I've had a lot of good examples growing up with my dad, my uncles, my older cousins and younger cousins, you know. Just, I don't know, they've really put in the work and they work hard at what they do. And so it just really inspired me to, you know, find something that I'm passionate about and work really hard at that. So it's cool to be a part of.
Is this one of the better accomplishments in the fam?
Is
this pretty good?
I mean, yeah, I guess it compares to most of them, yeah. So
pretty good.
So you were telling us you've got Olympic qualifying coming up.
Yeah.
So that's coming up pretty quick, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So
tell us what that's going to look like and like the preparation for that.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is my first time making it to the Olympic trials, so that I'm really excited for that. Just going to be training like how I normally train with Nick, you know, being my coach. He's peaking me at the right time, so my body's feeling good. I'm feeling explosive, feeling strong, and so that's always a good sign, you know. So I'm just going to keep on doing what I've been doing and see what happens at Olympic trials.
Be cool.
And you went on your mission to New Zealand?
Yes.
Auckland?
Yes.
Oh, I got to go to New Zealand, dude. I love New Zealand.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Did you learn some rugby down there?
I did.
Some Maori culture?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome, dude.
I'm actually wearing my Greenstone right now.
Oh, very nice.
Just a little one.
Very nice.
I had to rep it.
That's awesome. Very, very cool. Well, thanks for coming in.
Yeah,
congratulations. And we'll keep an eye on the Olympic trials with you. Best of luck.
Thank you.
All the karma we can get.
Yeah, all the BYU Sports Nation karma coming your way.
I'll take it.
All right, tune in this Friday for a BYU Sports Nation Big 12 Roundtable special with this guy, Jerem Jordan. He'll be joined by BYU TV analysts and BYU coaches as they recap BYU's first year in the Big 12 and look ahead to year two. That's coming up Friday at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Coming up, the latest in our best quarterback bracket, who is moving on, and what's the matchup today? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
Time for our best quarterback bracket. During June, we're trimming this down from 16 to 1. Who's the best quarterback in BYU history? You decide with voting on X and Instagram.
All right, in Thursday's matchup last week, the matchup was between Mark Wilson and Brandon Dolman. Moving on to the second round.
Who's moving on?
And what it was is the, Mark Wilson.
It is Mark Wilson.
Mark Wilson.
Not super shocking.
Is moving on.
Yeah.
You know, earlier in the show.
What was the percentage?
Right.
We'll find that out later.
We'll find that out. We were talking about Virgil Carter.
Yes.
And obviously this is years later, but Mark Wilson was the quarterback that really started what we saw in the late 70s, early 80s with all those quarterbacks in a row. Boom, boom, boom. Kind of started with Mark.
Well, I would argue Gary. And
but
then
I'm talking about later. Yeah, well, that's true.
And
but,
then Mark.
But I was the Wilson that year after year after year after year,
yes.
We saw that late 70s with Mark.
He did pick up right after Giff, and Giff was on the roster, I believe, in 74. Maybe it was 75. What was that
79%?
Percentage? 79%. So pretty dominating there. Mark continues that string, dude. And it's an unparalleled string of quarterbacks that may never be accomplished again. So that's pretty cool. Okay, today's matchup. Steve Young versus our boy Gary Scheide, who's still on the air with us. We love Gary. It's the 3 seed versus the 14, Steve Young.
All right.
One of the GOATs.
For those that need to be reminded about what Steve Young did, played at BYU from 80 to 83, passed for 7,733 yards, 56 touchdowns, and a completion percentage of 65.2. He's one of three BYU quarterbacks to rush for 1,000-plus yards and also record 18 rushing touchdowns. Obviously, in 83, it was his best as he set the NCAA single-season completion record, led BYU to an 11-1 record, finished second in the Heisman voting, of course, was named an All-American, all that leading to Young being a College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Steve Young.
Three dudes have rushed for 1,000 yards and recorded 18 touchdowns. Taysom Hill is one of
them.
I'm trying to think who the
third. I'm trying to think of who the third.
Would it be Riley Nelson? Okay, let's talk Gary Scheide. 73 and 74. 4,500 yards passing, 45 touchdowns. WAC championship, first bowl game for BYU in 74. One of the pioneers. That same season, Gary became the first player ever to win the Sammy Baugh Trophy, the first major individual award for a BYU player ever, drafted in the third round by the Bengals, and a longtime commentator for us on softball and then baseball, Gary Scheide, the 14 seed. Now, I think Steve Young wins pretty handily here.
Yes.
But we love us some Gary.
We love
that
Uncle Gary.
That picture, story time with Uncle Gary. That picture right there on your screen, he looks like Joe Namath. They said he was a Namath clone.
Yeah.
Like he looked like Namath. He looks like Namath.
And
he wore the same number.
He could have been just as good in baseball, in other sports. This guy, you talk about an athlete. Gary Scheide was an athlete.
We were talking about fishing earlier. Matt
is a master
fisherman.
Yes.
He goes to Minnesota like most of the summer and just fishes. It's awesome.
I think he set the Utah State record
For
fish.
Really?
Like a year or two ago.
Oh, we got to dig it.
The biggest of the season or something.
Should have been it. To vote, go to BYU Sports Nation's on X account and Instagram and vote. We'll tell you about it tomorrow. fun matchups throughout June. Pretty cool. Our question of the day is this. What word best describes BYU's first year in the Big 12? Our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated at M4GBit on X. Invested.
Is this Broncos?
Bronco, is that
this,
you?
Is this Broncos?
I saw him in the airport a couple weeks ago.
I saw him in Hawaii.
Did you really?
Literally almost, ran into him.
Way to top
on the sidewalk.
Nice. Today's Rise and Shoutout is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. How about Daniel Schneeman doing some crazy stuff? According to Matt Martingale of Elias Sports Bureau, has done something incredible. What is it?
First player to debut in 1900 or later to play as many as six different positions within his first six MLB games.
Are you kidding
That's
me?
It's the
first one?
That's insane.
Thanks to Kay Makeda and Danny Bryant.
Conversation continues 24-7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time. For Jason, I'm Jerem. Shout out to Corey Calvert. You're one in the Big 12 in the books.